please and turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Begin in verse 25. John 11. Title of the message, Salvage Title Made Clean. John 11, 25. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? John chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Those last three words, believest thou this? That's the important part, isn't it? We can hear a lot, but do we believe it? Believest thou this? This conversation was taking place because someone was sick and someone was going to die, and it was Lazarus. And our hearts have had an emotional week this week in the same way. And Pastor Jeremy's message there was so fitting. We're to weep with those that weep. And our hearts go out to those that have wept this week. And as we look in chapter 11 here in verse 1, the conversation that we just read about took place because someone was sick and was going to die. In verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. You know, they did the right thing. They brought the need to Jesus. Lazarus, their brother, was sick. They sent word. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, in the trials that we face, we never know how our trials are going to end. But if we yield to the Lord, it can be, the end result can be for the glory of God, whatever the result is. In Lazarus' case, he was going to rise from the dead. The three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, in their case, they were going to go through the fire and survive. Daniel was going to be tossed into the lion's den, and he was going to survive. But John the Baptist was put into prison, and what happened to him? He died. So we never know exactly how God is going to be glorified through our lives, whether it be by life or by death. And we think of Brother Wesco. He glorified God through his death. Brother Needham faced situations where he could have died, but it was in God's plan to be glorified through his life and not through his death. So we never know exactly what we are going to face. But these sisters did the right thing. They came to the Lord. They sent word. In verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. We are very impatient people, I suppose, especially in America. You go to a different country. When we went to Haiti for the first time, Brother Wall said, now be prepared to wait. And we got in the airport, and that's exactly what we did. We waited to find someone that was supposed to have our name on a something where we were to go to that person. And then we were taken to another end of the airport to wait for a little plane to take us up on the plateau. And we waited, and some of our people had headaches, and it was hot, but we were to wait. We were to wait. And they were called upon to wait for the Lord, not to cast accusations at him. Oh, you don't care about me. You know, if you cared about me, you would have come. It's not our place to cast accusations. It's our place to fully trust in him, that what he does will bring glory to himself. And so if we go down to verse 17, then John 11, 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Every child is different, aren't they? Every child. You know, when you have your first child, you think, oh, well, this is how it is. And this is how they respond. To love, to nurture, to chastisement, whatever the case, this is how the child sleeps, this is how the child eats. And then you have your second child, and you think, whoa, how can two children from the same two parents be so different? But that's the way it is sometimes. Well, maybe your first two are very similar, but maybe it's some of the others that are so different from the others. And you just think, wow, every child is important to God. Every child is unique. Every child has different characteristics, different personality. They don't all like the same thing. They don't respond the same way. They don't all sleep the same way at night. It's just amazing how different children can be. And here we find that Martha and Mary are so different. Martha, when she hears Jesus is coming, immediately gets up and goes. Mary, she's not moving. Why? Well, sometimes it's dangerous to guess why. We can't really say that Mary was pouting and upset because she is going to be the one that sits at Jesus' feet while Martha is up, cumbered about, much serving. I don't know why, but Mary didn't move. But Martha did. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst what? Been here, my brother had not died. Lord, why didn't you come? Why didn't you come when we called? If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But verse 22, she puts in there, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So she's placing full confidence in the Lord, but she doesn't understand. And how many times do we not understand? We don't know. We don't know. Why did Greg and Katie's little girl have to go to be with the Lord before she could even be enjoyed? I don't know. I do not know. So many other births have been close call with the cord, and other things could have easily been the same way. But we have to trust the Lord, and we don't know all the reasons, but we must trust. And this morning, I don't know what all you face this week, but are you giving God the benefit of the doubt? Is your trust in him? We can trust him. we are still here. And by virtue of that, God has some plan for us. I was recently at the post office, and an older couple, I would guess them in their 70s, went up to the window, and the man just kind of good-naturedly said something about they was going to travel, and they guess they needed a passport. So he laid down some papers on the counter, and then I was waiting for them. There was only one clerk at that point working, so I heard the conversation, and the clerk said, "Well, sir, you have to have your birth certificate has to be a stamped birth certificate." He was trying to show her, I guess, the original one that he got from the hospital. So it had been faithfully cared for all those years. And the clerk was trying to tell him, "I'm sorry, but that original one you got at the hospital is no good to get a passport." And ma'am, this was right from the hospital. How can it be no good? I mean, let alone he's standing there, but how can this be no good? I mean, couldn't you see? I mean, my birth certificate looks pretty ancient. I mean, are you trying to say this is a forgery? Come on, look at this old yellow paper. Come on. But he didn't try to argue with her, but he was just trying to understand how that paper could not get him a passport. He just wanted to go on a trip. I mean, praise God. He's in his 70s. He's still able to walk, to move, to even have a desire to travel. And the clerk, I think at least three times, tried to explain it. It's got to be that stamped copy, that embossed copy of the county clerk. You've got to go to the county clerk, wherever you were born, and get that stamped copy. I don't think he still got it. But then the clerk turned to his wife, and exact same thing. She had the original from the hospital, and I think she only explained it to her once. And the lady just, I mean, they weren't mad, the elderly couple, but they just kind of shaking their heads like as they left, like, what's wrong with this generation anyway, you know? These are our original birth certificates. Why don't you understand? But it wasn't good enough. I don't know if they'll still go on their trip or not. But that came to my mind as I was reading about Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave. In John 11, verse 41, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.' And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" Now you can imagine what he looked like. He was bound with all this stuff and trying to walk. Jesus has to tell them, "Loose him, let him go from all those things." Then I got to thinking about this couple and birth certificates, death certificates. You know how it is when someone dies, you often have to have multiple copies of death certificates to tend to, whether it's Social Security or this or that, any accounts that person had, or vehicles that weren't in someone else's name, many times multiple copies of that. And I thought about this when Lazarus died. Now, I'm assuming they probably didn't do all those certificates back then, but it made me think about what it would be like today. Lazarus dies. Bring that forward to today. So he's dead, and the death certificate has been signed. And what would he do? What would he do? If Lazarus then was to go to the Secretary of State or someplace else and or to the post office wanting a passport to travel, and so he presents his birth certificate, he presents his death certificate, and then he sees the look on the lady's face. You have a birth certificate? You have an official death certificate? What's wrong, lady? You shouldn't be standing here. You should be dead. That would shake up the clerk. Now, how would Lazarus get proof that he's alive again? This elderly couple couldn't prove that they were alive enough to get a passport. How is Lazarus going to prove, this is the second time around, how is Lazarus going to prove that he's really alive, that it's really him? Do you think Jesus and the prophets handed out new certificates of life, you know, when they raised someone from the dead? Well, it made me think, you know, really, that's the greatest need, is to have a new life in Christ, because we are all dead. The fact of the matter is, as soon as all of us were born, we could have rightfully had a death certificate made out. Because look with me in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. How are we going to prove that we are really alive? Because the fact of the matter is, eternally speaking, the moment we're born, we're dead. We're dead in sin. Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were what? By nature, the children of wrath, even as others. And what does that mean? You have to go back to verse 1. We're dead in trespasses and sins. You know, a baby that's alive and well and growing, it doesn't take too many weeks and months. And you find out that little innocent bundle is not so innocent. That little bundle of joy is a little sinner, a little selfish sinner, just like all of us. You don't have to train them to be selfish, they just are. Notice in Psalm 51:5, so we all, the fact of the matter is we all need a death certificate the moment we are born, because in light of eternity, we are dead in our sin. Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in what? In sin did my mother conceive me. As a 6-year-old boy, I had a birth certificate from the hospital, too. I still have it. But I understood as a 6-year-old boy that that wasn't enough to really prove that I was really alive. And in fact, I found out, in fact, really, I had a death certificate. No, not on paper. But I found out before God, before Almighty God, I had a death certificate, because I was a sinner and I was lost in my sin. And I needed to be raised from that sin. I needed to be born again. Notice in John chapter 3. Well, here was a man who was far beyond 6 years old, but he didn't know it yet. He thought he was alive and all was well, but he didn't know, even as an adult man, that indeed, the moment he was born, there was a death certificate, an eternal death certificate hanging over his head. In John 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith in him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And just to make it clear that verse 5 is not talking about water baptism and a spirit birth. Verse 6 says, That which is born of what? The flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus is talking about the physical birth. We saw in that regard the race from New York to Michigan. We're talking about water. And then that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So unless we are born physically and spiritually, we're not going to see the kingdom of God. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So the fact of the matter is our hearts have been moved with emotion, all that's taken place. But the fact of the matter is that every one of us must reckon ourselves indeed dead. We must see that we are lost in our sin. And all this got me thinking about, I don't have an official death certificate, and I'm not suggesting that anyone get on the computer and make one up and get into some type of fraud situation. That's not what I'm talking about. But we've been looking for a car, and as I meditated on this thought, it brought over, because as we've been looking at vehicles online, often it will say, clean title, clean title, clean title. But once in a while, it will say salvage title. And then I think, oh, no wonder it looked like such a good deal. No wonder the price is reduced. This is why it's a salvage title. What is a salvage title? If you get into an accident with a vehicle and the insurance company will have you take it to a body shop, and they will estimate what it costs to fix. And if the price to fix it is more than the value of your car or truck, then the insurance company will write it off as a total loss. And then they will give you the value of your vehicle, but they will not fix the vehicle. Well, that happened in a situation that I was in. I was taking Brother Luke to work a few years ago. It was dark. We were headed to Pastor Jeremy's house early in the morning. And in the darkness, suddenly, Brother Luke and I was having a conversation, and suddenly, deer were right at my grill. They were on a dead run across the road. There were trees, brush, and things. There was no way to see them coming. Just suddenly, they were there, and boom, I got one of them. And when I hit one of them, I saw its head thrown back on the hood, and it had a rack on it. It was a buck. And then I saw, like it seemed in slow motion in my mind, but I saw this buck from the rebound being slid across the tar on the opposite side of the road, and then out of my sight. And then I see my lights like dim and then totally go out. It taken out both of my lights. I think it smashed, I think, one of them, but the other one just fell out. And so it was deciding how long it was going to take to fall out. I think as I stopped, then the momentum allowed it to fall out. So we were in total darkness there, and I had to pull off the road. And so went to the body shop, and that's what they said. they said, it's totaled. It costs more to fix it than it's worth. And so I said to the lady I was talking to from the insurance company, and I said, well, she's told me how much they were going to give us to total it. And I said, well, what are you going to do with my vehicle? And she said, well, it'll be wholesaled out for parts or whatever. And I says, well, what would it cost me to buy it? And really, the grill was smashed, the headlights, the hood was bent, but it wouldn't have to be replaced if you don't mind driving a car with a hood that's just a little creased. And she told me the amount, and I said, well, I'd like to just buy it back. And she says, okay, that's fine. And she said, she knew, really, the damage was light, but just the age of the vehicle made it not worth it to fix. So she said this. She said, I will give you a clean title. I thought, that is very gracious of you. Not that we ever sold the vehicle. It didn't make a difference in that way. But she knew that the damage was not serious and that it could be fixed. And she gave us a clean title. And I thought, you know what? That is so much like what every living person needs and can have from the Lord. We go back to our birth certificate. We've been born of the flesh, but we need to be spiritually born again. We need to be brought to life through the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And then we need to realize what God has done. You know, our standing before God, when we've been born again, what is our standing? Well, what do we deserve before God? What we deserve, well, we don't even deserve that, but what could rightly be so would be a salvage title. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. At best, we would deserve a salvage title, but it would always be hanging over our heads. We're a wreck. Every one of us is a sinful wreck. Every one of us have been totaled by sin. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But you know what Jesus did? If you've been born again, he didn't give you a salvage title. He gave you a clean title. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not what? Imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And here it is, verse 21. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Now, the phrase who knew no sin refers to Jesus, not to us. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him. That is our clear title, right there. God didn't save us and give us a salvage title. Yeah, well, I saved them, but I just want you to know that they're a sinful, wretched wreck. And they're not worth it. But that's not what he did. He made us the righteousness of God in him. He imputed his righteousness to us. Notice in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk, what? In darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Listen, God wants us to walk in a new life with Christ. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, what? Cleanses us from what? All sin. You know, it's like this morning. You could have come to church and had just one of the little tots, and they might have been out playing outside, and you told them, now listen, you're dressed for church. Don't get dirty. And you're headed out the door ready to go for church, and you see they're all dirty. And so you forgive them, but you say, well, I'm sorry, but there's not time to change. You're going to church looking just like you are. That's not what God did to us. That's what we deserve, but that's not what he did to us. No, his blood cleanses us from all sin. He didn't just say, okay, well, I forgive you, but you're going to have to walk in your own filth. No, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Today, do you have a new birth certificate? Maybe I should back up. Do you realize you actually have a death certificate? Ephesians 2, 1. We're all dead in trespasses and sins. Do you realize that? And secondly, do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ offers new life through his blood? Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, came from heaven, born through a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross for you and for me, was buried and rose again in victory, proving that his blood was sufficient to pay for our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you realize that? Have you been born again? Have you asked him for that new life in Christ? Then are you walking as someone with a new life should walk? And then are you thankful that he didn't give you a salvage title? Aren't you thankful he gave you a clean title? As if you had never sinned. We don't deserve that, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the imputed righteousness of Christ to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and your great grace. Father, we realize that we all have a death certificate. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. But I pray if someone is still walking in this life on that certificate, that this morning they would say, I want to be saved. I want to do away with that death certificate. I want to be born again. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. Father, if there are any like that this morning, I pray they would come as we sing. And I pray that you'd help us as Christians. You have been so much better to us than we deserve. We don't deserve even a salvage title, but at best, that's what we would deserve, because we're all sinful wrecks. But thank you for the clean title through Jesus' blood. Please have your way in our hearts now, in Jesus' name, amen.